Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Happy Hour. I'm your host, Gretchen Garrity, and today we have such a fun episode. Basically, I'm just in the best mood right now to record with you guys. I get so happy whenever I get to record because it's just such a fun time. I feel like we're hanging out. I was just vlogging for the vlog that I'm filming today, and I was like, wow, I am just so excited to record right now. Like, I was just telling my blog, it's one of my favorite things that I get to do as a part of my job. So yeah, I can't wait to catch up with you guys today. Relax. I'm like, put your feet up. Just let's hang out together. Basically, this whole episode is just inspired by, well, one, I'm just really excited to like chit-chat and hang out with you guys. I feel like, obviously, you guys know now I post like every other Friday, and that really started during Vlogmas, I think. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so overwhelmed. But I love doing every other Friday because I feel like it gets to be really fresh and just like quality instead of like pumping out content every week when I'm like, okay, do I even have stuff to talk about every week? And also, since my last episode was with a guest, I just like miss you guys and want to chit chat. So I'm just extra excited. But I was saying, this is all really inspired by, I posted on Instagram. I'm like, listen, you guys, on my Instagram story, I was like, I've been on YouTube for 9 years now, a little over 9 years, which is crazy. I started April of 2012. That's so weird to think about. I was legit like, what, 14? And so with YouTube, I'm really like, okay, I feel like everything, been there, done that. Like, I want to keep it fresh. I want to keep making content that you guys like. So I love any suggestions when you guys have. I love when you give me suggestions, especially when it's something I've never thought of. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it'd be so fun. And it gets me all excited and re-motivated to film or record whatever it is. And for the podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe even how long I've been doing this for. Like, was it 29? It must have been 2019. I think like August or September. So I'm like, wow, I've even been doing the podcast for so long now. I feel like I've talked about everything there is to talk about, but obviously there's like endless things you could talk about. So anyway, you guys wrote in a bunch of suggestions, which are so helpful. And it just sort of made me think of, this is like a mishmash, a little bit of everything episode, but those are the best ones. Honestly, the reason I wanted to do this one like this is because these are my favorite episodes to listen to. Whenever I listen to Tori Day Simone's podcast, like anyone's podcast, when they chit-chat and just hit a bunch of different topics and just sort of like update me on their life, what's going on currently, like those are just my favorite episodes to listen to. Like, we're hanging out. Obviously, I love like the niche ones where I can take away value when I'm learning something. But yeah, this is just going to be life updates, a catch up, since I feel like I haven't talked to you about my life in like a month now. And this was requested from you guys to talk about love language. I sort of put these together in my head. They all kind of go together, like love languages in relationships, Enneagram. I feel like I'm saying that wrong. Enneagram types. I didn't even know mine until like 30 minutes ago. I was planning this episode for you guys and I took the test. I think I took it like a couple months ago, but I didn't remember what type I was, or I didn't save my results or anything. So I just took the test again, and I want to sort of go through that because I was reading it and I never really understood it before. I was like, oh, I don't think I like that one. I think the Myers-Briggs one makes more sense to me. I remember doing that one in college and I've taken it a couple times. Of course, it's always the same personality type. Anyway, what I'm talking about are like personality type tests. And I get like so nerdy about them. Like I'm so into them. And I don't know. I just like love taking them and talking about them. And I feel like it's sort of like a deep dive into knowing who you are and like why you are the way you are. I find it like honestly fascinating. This is making me think that it's something that I'm literally so interested in. And if I ever don't do social media for my job, God forbid, because it's like my favorite thing ever, it's like a dream come true, I would want to do something with this. I don't know if that's like psychology related. I mean, it must be. But anyway, I digress. We're going to touch on that because I get so into it. I could talk about it for like hours. And then like the love language is obviously separate, but you guys wanted me to touch on that. And I think personally, for me and my romantic relationship, it actually was so helpful. I remember just hearing about it or people saying like, oh, what are your Max's love languages? And I was like, what? What's that? Like, I don't even know. And I remember we took the test, like we both took it. And I think, yeah, there's got to be like quizzes online. But now I just remember like our top results of our love languages. And it was actually so helpful. And it just made me reflect like, oh, wow. For example, Max's top one is words of affirmation is how he receives love like primarily. And so I'm like, okay, that is a reminder for me to be careful of like what I say to him and around him. And I feel like I could just talk all day long, blah, blah, blah. I'll joke around and say something like rude or I don't know, offensive, whatever. And he could like take it to heart. So I don't know. That might be like, I don't know if I'm explaining this right. But yeah, it just helped me realize like the ways he receives love, the way I receive love. And I also realized the way I give love and receive love and primarily is very different. So I don't know. It's just really interesting to talk about. Some advice I want to touch on. I know you guys love the advice sessions. There was a lot of requests for just like advice podcasts. And it's so funny. You guys want to hear my advice. I guess I've lived through a lot of life. I feel so wise over here. I'm freaking 24. I need to relax. I'm like, yeah, like I've gone through a lot. Like I have lots of good advice for you guys. But I think I do on certain things. Like, we all know the body image, food stuff, been there, been through all that. And I think I have like a lot of good takeaways, obviously losing my dad, all these different experiences in my life, I feel like have led me to a point where I can have some good advice for you guys, especially if you're younger than me or about to go through like the college to adult life transition, things like that. So I'm sure there'll be more advice episodes coming soon, but today is just more specific on sort of things that have been going on in my life recently and things that I want to touch on coming into the summer season. So yeah, that's kind of an overview. I just like chit-chatted for so long. So let's catch up, everybody. I'm home. I'm so excited to be back in Pennsylvania. If you didn't know, if you didn't see my Instagram or YouTube or anything, Max and I and Brody were away for basically the last 2 weeks. And how this all started was because Max's hockey season was ending. And he was like, if you guys heard in my vlog, he was like, oh my gosh, like all my teammates in the locker room were saying, all these places are going on vacation. Like once the season's over, like why aren't we going on vacation? I have FOMO, whatever. I'm like, okay, well, we just never talked about it. Like, if you want to go on vacation, let's go on vacation. Like, figure it out. Figure out Brody. And this was also a really big step because Brody's a year old and we never left him. I'm trying to think any time. I don't think Max and I left him for this long, like, together. I'm trying to think. Like, Lucy must have watched him for a day or, but I don't even think Max and I have been gone for, like, a weekend together. Like, it's always, like, if I was gone for a week or if Max was gone for a week, the other one of us was with him. And that makes sense. So it was like a big step to leave Brody at Max's mom's house so that his family could watch Brody for the week while we were in Laguna Beach. So that's where we went on vacation. And it was like a whole thing because we had to drive 6 hours from here to Cape Cod so that Max's family could watch Brody. And I'm just so happy we did that, by the way. I know obviously there is like daycares. We love our daycare here for Brody, but I'm just happier knowing that he was with Max's family and that he got to like run around the beach and swim and like they would walk him every day and love him and take care of him. Not that a daycare wouldn't, but I don't know. It was just really nice knowing he was in like family's hands and we could FaceTime him when we missed him and stuff like that. So yeah, did that. Flew to LAX from Boston, drove the hour to Laguna. You guys get it. I don't know why I'm saying all the logistics here, but I was just saying it was like a whole thing because we had to go to the Cape before and after the trip. But then we were there for Memorial Day weekend, which was great. Well, sort of great. It was great being with Max's family for Memorial Day weekend, especially on Cape Cod. Like, we always were like, oh, yeah, Cape Memorial Day weekend. It'll be awesome weather, amazing. No, it was not awesome weather. It was like 40 or 50 degrees and raining and so cold the whole time. I remember walking Brody being like, I literally wish I had my winter parka on right now. Like, I had a big sweatshirt, but I was freezing. Like, it was so cold. So I guess a silver lining of this is just making me think everything I'm saying, you guys, I'm being so like introspective right now. I don't know if that's the word, but since I just took that Enneagram test, everything I'm saying and like how I'm looking at things, like our trip to Cape Cod and Laguna, like, for example, is making me think of like, oh, this is because I'm like this personality type, this is why I'm like looking at it this way. Does that make any sense? Anyway, I think my personality type is, well, I know that it is, and I know that I just am, as a person, extremely optimistic and, like, finds the silver linings and glass half full, like, every situation. So I'm, like, at least silver lining of this, like, crappy Memorial Day weekend, like, the worst ever, was that Max and I got back. Actually, wait, I'm such a liar. We actually started on our flight to Laguna because it was, like, 6 hours. Anyway, we got into Prison Break. If you guys know that show, it's the best show ever. And I actually watched all of Prison Break my junior year of high school, sophomore year of high school. So like a long, 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 long time ago. I like barely remember. I remember the big events in the plot that happened, but like so many things, I'm like, wow, I don't remember this at all. And all I do remember is my twin sister Lucy and I, it was over the summer, I think we were like lifeguarding, rowing, whatever. So we were so busy every day. We'd get up at like 5 a.m. to row, lifeguard all day, blah, blah, blah. Like, we had very busy schedules. And the reason I'm saying this is because we were running ourselves into the ground by watching Prison Break. We were so obsessed, you guys, this summer. I fully remember Lucy and I would stay up all night. Like, the sun would be rising and be 5 a.m. and we'd be like, oh my gosh, like, what have we just done? Like, we just pulled an all-nighter. This is so bad. Because this show is so good. It's so addicting. And like each episode, I feel like ends on sort of a cliffhanger. And there's like plot twists. Oh my God. It's so good. I'm sure, I don't know if the majority of you have watched Prison Break, but I would hope that you have by this point because it's so old now. But it is such a good show. I just love the show. I don't know why I love it so much. It's like just so entertaining. It's like scary, which I really don't do scary, but I don't know, not too bad, and I know that it's like a show, I don't know how to describe, but it's more just like violent because it's in a prison or whatever. I feel like I'm making it sound so scary, but it's just the best show. So yeah, basically I think Max watched it forever ago, maybe when he was in college, and he was like, oh, we should start it over like on the plane right there, like we have 6 hours. So we started on the way there, watched it on the way back. And then since it was such a crappy weekend, we watched a bunch of it on Cape Cod too. So yeah, I just wanted to tell you that we've really been into Prison Break. And honestly, you know you have a good show. Does anyone else relate with like all day? Like right now, I even think about it like subconsciously. If I'm like recording a podcast, filming my YouTube videos, editing, blah, 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 working, whatever, during the day. But in the back of my mind, I'm like thinking about like, oh, I can't wait to have free time tonight where I can like watch Prison Break. I was so sad last night because I've just been so busy. I feel like whenever you travel and you get home, there's like 8 million things you have to do and like catch up on. So that's like the vibe I've been in. Like, it's 9 a.m. on Thursday right now and I'm like getting after it. Like, I got my workout and my breakfast. I'm like, I'm on a schedule today, people. But oh yeah, I was saying that last night I was so bummed because I was so excited to watch Prison Break all day. I'm like, Gretchen, like, get all your stuff done so you can watch Prison Break. And I think planning out my schedule took me way longer than I thought. Of course, I started at like 11 p.m. So then it was like midnight and I was like, okay, we can't watch. Like, I have to go to bed. I need to get up at like 7 so I can do my workout. But yeah, anyway, does anyone care? All I'm saying is that love Prison Break. It's the best show ever. And if you haven't watched, you really should because just love it. I feel like I am viewing it very differently now that I'm however many years older, like 8 years older than I, no, like 6 years older than I was when I watched it before. I feel like before it was probably more scary to me because I was younger. And now I feel like I understand more watching it a second time. So anyway, I just talked about Prison Break for so long. But I also transitioned. This like doesn't have to go with that at all. I also wanted to tell you guys about, this is when I was talking about like getting into the summer season, sort of this new feeling I felt going into this summer. And like I touched on, and I've really touched on in episodes in the past, my struggle with body image and just like relationship with food, that kind of thing. And it's always a journey. I feel like it's always a roller coaster, how I'm feeling about how I look and my body image. Some days I'm like, wow, I feel so great. I feel so strong and healthy. And, you know, everything I'm doing for my body, my wellness and my health every day is like paying off. I feel great, like look great, and I feel awesome, like very confident. Other days, it is just the opposite. I'm like, I see no results from the gym. Am I even doing the right things? I feel awful. I feel bloated. I feel like I don't look good. I feel like people look at me like I look bad. I just can be in such a bad place. And I think this was new for me going into the summer. I don't think I've ever felt so anxious about wearing a bikini. Like, I've never felt that, and I know so many people do. And it's so weird to admit because I think I've always been confident in a bikini and, like, felt pretty good overall. But, yeah, I guess it was, like, April, May where I started thinking, oh, gosh, like, it's getting warm. It's going to be summer. Like, it's going to be time for a bikini. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Like, I don't think I'm confident in like how I look. I don't want people to see me in it, or like I want to look more fit or like better to be in it. And it was like really stressing me out. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we're going to Laguna. It's going to be warm. We're going to go to the beach. Oh, like I'm going to be in a bikini. I don't know if I feel ready. Like I'm going to have to take photos. I'm going to be in videos. And I was getting like really stressed about it. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like I've never felt this way before. Like, am I okay? Like, and so what I'm getting at, I want to read you guys my caption for an Instagram post I wrote because, yeah, it, I feel like encompasses all of this and can probably explain a lot better than how I'm trying right now. How I was so stressed before and sort of like where I'm at now and what I've come to. Okay. So, and I kind of talk about something else too, like how you talk to yourself and how you talk to yourself in your head and how you speak to yourself out loud in front of others. Because, oh, by the way, too, that can affect your friends. I feel like I never realized that, but I've always, not always, but there can be times, like I said, where I get really down about my body image, whatever it is, if I'm in a bathing suit, if I'm taking photos, and I'm like, oh, like, I feel great, but these are not looking how I want them to look, or I have this vision for, like, this cute photo, and I feel like I don't, like, look good at whatever. You guys, we've all been there. And I notice how, like, if I'm with friends and I'm like, oh, like, I look so bloated in these photos, I don't look good, whatever, it brings them down too. And, like, you never want to do that as a friend. I would hate to bring down my friends, or if I'm like, oh, I don't look good in these, like, today's not my day. And then they're like, oh, well, maybe, like, I don't either. I never want to, like, bring them down or, like, pull them down into the place I'm in. So it's just, like, sort of be careful with your words, especially you don't want to trigger your friends that have gone through similar body image issues, or if it's an eating disorder, whatever it is, like, you don't want to bring them down into the bad place with you, if that makes sense. I think it wasn't until I'll say in how I said in this Instagram caption, but it wasn't until I heard from a friend, like, okay, enough, like, saying bad things about yourself, like, you're making me feel bad too, that I was like, wow, I just never crossed my mind, like, I never knew that. Okay, here's my Instagram caption. So it's like the day after we left Laguna. It's a little bikini photo. I'm like, this isn't your typical bikini photo, like, woo, like summer's here, like, yay, it's sunny on a beach. Okay, this is what I said. Just a little reminder to be aware of how you speak to yourself, I mean in your head and out loud. I share this since it wasn't until a close friend of mine pointed out that I even realized how bad it was. Thank you for metaphorically grabbing me by the shoulders and shaking me by the way I needed it. This is to you, Hannah. Love you, BFF, my best friend from home. Literally, without Hannah telling me this, like, I wouldn't have realized, and it actually helped me so much. I was texting her about it. I was like, dude, like, thank you for calling me out, because I know so many times, too, you don't want to, like bring up something to your friends or be like, hey, stop doing that. Like, you don't want to, I don't know, cause a problem or, you know what I mean? Like, call them out for anything. But I'm so happy that she was like comfortable enough to do that because it helped me so much. When looking back, by the way, I digress. But any of my friends that have stopped me in my tracks and been like, hey, don't do this, or hey, you, do you even realize like you're doing this? I feel like half the time I didn't even realize. Like another one of my close friends, Louisa, stopped me at one point. I think it was after my sophomore year in the summer. She was like, Gretchen, you're living in the past. I feel like I talked about that in an episode before, and I was like, whoa, dude, like didn't even realize. But like both of these times with my friends, like keeping me in line, literally helped me tremendously. Like, I can't even tell you. Okay, so yeah, needed it. And then I said I was upset while trying to take photos with how they were turning out. My friend told me how negative and harsh I was being towards myself. By the way, I feel like that's a reaction so many girls have, where you're like, oh, I look awful today. I look so fat in my outfit, whatever. And it's like, why do we do that? Like, literally, why? I don't understand. Maybe sometimes you just like want the validation of your friends. I'm sure that's why deep down, if I'm like, oh, I don't look good in this outfit, like I want my friends to reassure me, to be like, no, you look great. But it's like, why do we have to like say that about ourselves and bring ourselves down? Because then you start to believe it, you know? And I was trying to blah, blah, blah. A friend told me how negative and harsh I was being towards myself. It makes me emotional even writing this and admitting she's right. Why is it that we cherish and pride and encourage our loved ones yet are so hard on ourselves? Maybe just being so public, I see these photos and immediately anxious of comments I could get about how I look or if I put on weight. But if the girl in this photo is my BFF, I would tell her she's thriving and looks so happy and healthy. Okay, this is like literally where I could be emotional because it's so weird, like the disconnect there for me. Maybe it is from the negativity and like comments I've gotten on my Instagram, YouTube about how I look. Like, can we stop freaking commenting about how people look? It's like you never know their journey of like what they're going through, health issues, their past, their history, like everything in their life. Like, you don't know. And so how can we judge like people's appearances? I think people are getting better at it in this day and age, but like, I love the comments, like, you're glowing, you look so happy. Like, let's focus on that here and not like, oh my gosh, your thighs are so skinny. You know, like those like make me kind of cringe, you know? I don't know. I think it's just triggering to me, maybe in specific. But what I was just saying, like, the disconnect, it's so crazy how if I look at a photo of myself, I'm like, no. But then I think about it and I'm like, if that was my twin sister, my best friend Hannah, my best friend Louisa, I would be like, you literally look stunning, beautiful, clean, amazing. And I believe it. But since it's myself, it's like we're so much harder on ourselves or have like crazy unrealistic expectations. I don't know what it is. I need to just start looking at my photos and be like, Gretchen, that's not you. That's your friend. So I can be like, wow, stunning queen, like amazing, sweetie. I don't know what it is. Then I say, okay, now I'm really crying. I remember writing this, I literally was crying, like putting it all into words. Cause I also think sometimes too, you don't realize like what you're feeling or all these thoughts you have. And then you write it out and put it into words and you're like, yep, that's it. I said, I mentioned before how I can easily fall into comparing how I look to past versions of myself, which leaves me feeling honestly just awful. Yep, it does. Not to say you shouldn't want progress or goals you're working towards in your fitness and health journey. I think that's great. However, learning to love each version of yourself, and for me, myself, right where I'm at, has brought me so much peace. Facts, literally. By the way, that reminds me how I feel like there's been so many times in my life, and so many of you can agree, that you're like, oh, if I just lose 5 pounds, perfect. That's right where I want to be. I'll be so happy. It'll be like a weight off my shoulders. Then I'll feel great. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll love myself. Then everything will be perfect, amazing, wonderful. And that's like never how it is. Like, if you have these conditional things in your life, if just this, then I'll be happy, it never works out that way. Like, you have to find happiness with right now how you are. And I don't want to discredit, like I was saying, if you're like, no, Gretchen, I'm really motivated, I'm on my health and fitness journey, like this is for my health, I want to feel better, I want to live longer, I want to whatever it is in your life, I don't want to discredit that. I think if you're making like positive changes and progress in your life, that's amazing. But I also think you need to find happiness and peace with where you're at right now in every version of yourself, like I was saying. I'm always working on giving myself grace and compassion, just as I would for a close friend, opening up a bit with my self-love journey on here, since I've touched on a ton of my podcasts, shout out, and YouTube videos, less on Instagram. So this is your sign to capture all the moments in memes and photos, focusing a little less on how you look and a little more how you feel. Love you all, besties. I always do. You guys are my besties. But that got me thinking too. I'm like, gosh, dang it, Gretchen, can you stop being in your head and like crying, trying to take beach photos in your bikini on vacation, because you are going to look back on that moment and be like, why couldn't I just be happy? Why couldn't I just smile in the sunshine, hold my boyfriend's hand, drink my mojito, or you know what I mean? Like, why couldn't I just enjoy the moment and not care if my stomach's a little bloated or how my arms look, or you know what I mean? Like, you're going to look back and be like, gosh, dang it, why did I ruin that moment of this like fun, special memory on vacation? And yeah, that brings me to, you guys wanted advice for confidence in a bikini, which is like everything I was just talking on. I saw that a couple of times. Like, can you talk about confidence wearing a bikini body, stuff like that. By the way, everybody is a bikini body. I'm sure we're all like, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. But like, seriously, that changed my mindset so much. Back whenever I heard, like, if you have a body and you have a bikini, boom, you got a bikini body, you're done, amazing, wonderful. And I'm like, wow, that's so true. Like, this whole bikini body, like, mindset we have is made up, that you need to have this body to look in a bikini. No, if you got a bikini and you put it on, bada bing, bada boom, you got a bikini body. So, this is like, I've heard this. When did I hear this? I don't know. Recently from who? I don't know. This is like kind of morbid, but it's so true. When you die one day, am I okay? At your funeral, okay, people don't remember you for your bikini body. They just don't. They're not going to talk about how toned you look in your bikini. Like, that's not actually what matters. That's not like your lasting impact on the world and on your friends and on your family. What matters? They're going to remember your personality. They're going to remember the memories. And whenever I heard this, I don't know if I saw it on Instagram, whatever, also changed my mindset. I'm like, wow, all this stupid crap that we care about how we look legitimately does not matter in like the long grand scheme of things. None of your friends or family or the close people to that love you and care about you are going to care really how you look. Are they going to challenge you and push you to be the best version of yourself if you are on a fitness and health journey? Sure, maybe, that's great. But they're not going to remember what size jeans you were. Like, and they don't care. They don't know. They don't care. They don't want to. They love you for you and your personality and how you love others and treat others and the kindness in your heart and things like that. So that helped me a lot too. I'm like, wow, like all the people that really care about me and love me don't even really care what I look like anyway, because they know me for me. So that really helped me. And that reminds me too, whenever I heard this recently, all these things I've like picked up on and it really helped me. Okay, this might shock you, but no one notices you or cares as much as you do. That sounds like so sad, like no one cares about you. No, people care about you. But what I mean is, I heard this, that like you think in your head that other people are thinking about you all the time, right? Like you think like, oh, this person's like thinking about me or judging me, da da da. I promise you, other people are way more focused on themselves. It's just like how, like think about your own self. Like I'm focused on my day and all the things I have to get done. And it's not that I'm not thinking about Brody and his feelings and how he looks and whatever. Sure, I am. But it's like way less than you think in your head. Does that make sense? Like no one's thinking about you and what you're doing and how you look as much as you worry that they are. That's a good way to put it. And also, you're the only person that notices really the little things that you worry about. I remember always thinking like, oh my gosh, like I gained 5 pounds. Like if I put on this bikini, everyone's going to be like, she gained weight. No. No one's going to notice the 5 pounds. You just notice the 5 pounds. Like literally no one cares that much. No one's like looking at you that closely. Literally only you notice. Or like the little, I remember being worried about like razor burn or like if I didn't pluck my eyebrows. Literally no one notices, like no one cares, no one, you know what I mean? Or like if a friend's like, oh gosh, like I'm so stressed about this pimple, and you're like, literally I did not even see it on your face until you just pointed it out. Like no one notices as much as you do. So just don't worry about it too much. Like don't give too much attention to it. it's fine. And again, like, what really matters, I know it sounds so dumb and cliche to say, but like, how you look, like, legit doesn't matter. I remember back, like, putting on a bikini, I'd have to like shave my armpits and shave my legs and have everything like perfect, like have the makeup and the right ponytail, and now I'm like, I don't give a flying. Like, I literally don't care. Like, no one, do you know what I mean? Like, no one's gonna see the hair on your legs anyway in like an Instagram photo, or like, no one's like touching your leg. Maybe your boyfriend, I don't know. You know what I mean? So it's just like, everything is not as big of a deal as you think that it is. And I feel like as you get older too, you realize, like, I remember all this in high school being like, feeling like I had to be perfect and perfectly groomed and everything at all times. And now I'm like, it literally doesn't matter. Also, might I add, this I started to like realize in college. I'm like, okay, like, let's be real, people. When people are day drinking during the summer on the beach, at the pool party, at a barbecue, whatever, day drinking in their bikini all day, I was mind boggled. I'm like, how do they day drink all day? And how are you not supposed to be like so bloated in your bikini? Let me tell you something. Everyone's bloated. Everyone's bloated from their burgers that they had on the grill for lunch. Everyone's bloated from their pizza, from their beer or spiked seltzer, or whatever it is that they're having all day. Everyone's bloated, living their best life. No one cares. The day drink, the beach, like whatever. Especially like if you are taking bikini photos after, I don't know, 7 a.m. and you've had breakfast or lunch or dinner, whatever, like, you are going to be blown. No one's looking perfect. So don't hold yourself to this like really high standard. I remember being like, oh, I have to be like, I have to have like such a flat stomach. No. And your bikini photos, like, it literally doesn't matter. And everyone, you know what I mean? I guess that makes me think of like some of my friends that literally don't get bloated or like always have out. Okay, my boyfriend Max, like, I'm rolling my eyes, like, always has an eight pack after like 3-5 Guys burgers. So, okay, there is some people, but like, for the most part, you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is, it just doesn't matter as much as you think it does. And I think all the girls are with me here. When I say, you're good, sweetie, don't worry about it too much, as long as you are trying your best to live your life as your best self and be healthy in whatever that means for you. If it's like mixing in a fruit or vegetable, that's all I really tell myself to do, is Gretchen, like, eat whatever you want every day, just like throw in some fruits and vegetables so that you feel better, because I know that's like what makes me feel better. Get some movement in whatever way I want, even if it's walking my dog, doing like 5 crunches before I go to bed, I don't know. As long as I'm doing a little something, it'll make me feel better than if I'm doing nothing. So oh yeah, like, if you're with your good girlfriends, your friends, family, summertime, fun in the sun, like, that's what matters. Just like, don't, yeah, and focus on what I said in my Instagram caption. Don't take the photos to like look like a model, unless you're modeling, like, that's great or whatever, but like, I could never, like, just, it's for the memories, good times, and you don't want to look back like I'm looking back at that moment in Laguna when I was crying trying to take beach photos and be like, why was I like this? So just no stress, baby girl, like, you're all good. Okay, moving on from that, I cannot believe how far into this episode we already are. Wow, I could chat. I didn't even tell you guys, like, what I'm happy about or happy quote. I'm going to get to that. But last thing I want to say is, you guys were asking for advice on staying present. And I feel like I'm good at it once in a blue moon, but I think I'm actually really bad at this. So I want your guys' advice. Like, I need tips here, okay? Obviously, number one for me is to not go on my phone. That makes me so not present, the opposite of present, that pulls me into like this virtual phone world where I'm worried about like the past on my Instagram and YouTube or whatever, and like my text, and worried about the present and what's to come and what, who I have to text back and who I have to email back. And yeah, it's just not good. Like, my screen time is horrendous and I just need it to get better, because it, like, my phone ruins my life. I'm not even being dramatic. Like, I just feel like your phone takes away time from your life. Like, I think about how in 1900 people could just like live their lives every day and weren't like chained to their phones. Do you guys like ever think about that? I just struggle, and especially, okay, this is where I really need your tips. When I travel, like when I was in Laguna, for example, when I'm on Cape Cod, when I'm doing something fun, I really want to be present. I really want to be enjoying the moment, because it's something exciting and like a fun adventure, new environment, activity. But where I struggle is, I really want to capture content for the memories. And I want all these photos from Laguna so I can look back and I want to like share my trip with you guys, whatever it is. So I feel like I'm even more on my phone and vlogging and whatever it is, but then I feel like I'm not in the moment. It's really hard for me to sort of balance, like, okay, when am I, like, in real, normal life being present, eating dinner with Max? But it's, like, I can't even do that because I want to take, like, the Instagram story. Like, the balance for the vlog footage, the IG photos, stories, even TikTok. Like, the people that do TikTok with all that, this is why I can't even get myself to do TikTok, because I'm, like, I'm already on my phone for, like, 12 hours a day. You know what I mean? How am I supposed to balance all that with, like, normal life? I don't know if you guys have tips. I feel like I used to be better at this, and I had a friend that even told me, like, oh, you're so good with the vlogging, because you get the vlog camera out, you vlog the moment, you get like a couple minutes, share what's going on, but then you put it away and you can like turn it off and be present. And I'm like, wow, that's like a really nice compliment, because I don't feel that way. Even if I put it away, I'm thinking about, okay, what am I vlogging next? Like, thinking about, I have this like timeline in my head, like, we did this so far, this is coming, this is the concept for the video. It's crazy. Maybe it's just because I've been in this world for so long, like, I can't turn it off. That's something I struggle with. Like, I can't turn it off. Like, always going. It's always, which reminds me of my Enneagram type, which I'm going to talk about still. Anyway, I need your guys' tips on that. If you're listening to this episode, go comment on my last Happy Hour Podcast Instagram post promoting this episode and give me tips on staying present. Okay, if you're listening to this like 35 minutes in, I cannot believe how far into this episode we already are.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
But yeah, okay, let's get into what I'm happy about this week. 35 minutes, this is like more than halfway. Okay, what I'm happy about this week, because you guys know I do this. So I'm saying the beginning of every episode. This is like halfway through. What I'm happy about is, well, being home in Pennsylvania, like I said, this really feels like home now, my home base. I think it's because I've made it a really cozy environment, somewhere that I love being. I love, like, right now I'm just sitting in our office looking outside at the trees, just being in nature. It really reminds me here where I grew up in Albany. So I think it feels really nostalgic. It feels like a similar environment to my childhood. And I love, like, the little loop that I walk Brody on in the mornings. Like, I love, I don't know, I love the Wegmans. Like, I love the things here. It's a lot slower pace than my life, my crazy, like, fast-paced life in Boston, but I'm loving it. And I, my Enneagram personality type will tell you that I think I'm really good at, or I can really easily find things to be grateful for, which is, like, so me, so true. Like, I could sit here and be like, oh, I'm so grateful that I had such a great workout. I'm like grateful for my big, huge Hydro Flask next to me with ice water. Oh, it's like the best ice water ever. I'm so grateful that like literally, you guys, I could be grateful for everything. Like, I'm like, oh, I love that it's like cloudy right now, so I don't have FOMO, that like I'm not outside. Like, I'm grateful that I vacuumed and the floors feel like clean beneath my feet. Like, I'm so cheesy, but that's kind of how like I go through life, and it's like a really fun way to be excited about everything. I'm also happy about summer ahead. We are not worrying about how we look in the bikini. We are worrying about how we feel in our fun memes and with others. That's what I'm excited about. And I want to tell you guys. Okay, so you know I always do like a happy quote. I share a happy quote. I share a happy idea, phrase, whatever. So this is good this week, because it's like really helped me like mentally. Maybe 2 days ago was when I saw, I screenshotted this girl's story, so I'm gonna read her advice to you. I just never heard this before, and it like really motivated me and changed my perspective, and was like the reason I could get up at 7 and work out today, because I was like, Gretchen, like, the best version of yourself does this. So you guys know I've talked about, I think this really came from Tori DeSimone. She was on my podcast, her podcast. She would talk about this higher version of yourself, like best version of yourself. That helped me a lot. But I feel like I started to sort of get lazy with it. I'd be like, oh, the best version of myself isn't eating like the whole pack of cinnamon rolls, maybe eating like one or two. But I'm like, oh, whatever, like, screw it, I'm just gonna do it anyway. So this girl's story helped me. So her name's Cass DiMicco. Oh my God, I don't know how to say it. But my best friend Hannah showed me her account. It's really cute. She has like a jewelry brand. Anyway, she's doing like a Q&A on her story. And someone asked her, have you ever dealt with self-doubt? How did you heal it? And she talks a lot about like a book and stuff. And she says, okay, this is where I was like, whoa, like mind blown. She says, whenever I feel self-doubt, it's because I'm not being the best version of myself that I know I'm capable of being. And I don't know why putting it that way. I was like, okay, I'm going to say it again so it can really sink in. It's so cheesy. Whenever I feel self-doubt, it's because I'm not being the best version of myself that I know I'm capable of being. Think of it as a positive. You feel self-doubt because you know deep down you're capable of pushing yourself to be better. So use that as motivation to grow. And I was like, whoa, when I read this. And I said to Max yesterday, I shared it with him. And I'm like, I think this just put into words what I feel so often. I'll feel self-doubt about my Instagram or my YouTube or whatever it is about what's going on, my fitness journey or lack thereof since I like didn't work out for a month. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, okay, I feel self-doubt because I know what I'm capable of being and doing. Maybe I've been there in the past. Like I know this best version of myself and that's why I feel self-doubt. And this girl Cass was saying that that's what's motivating to her. And I'm like, that is so motivating to me. So I don't know if that like helped you guys at all, if that made any sense. But yeah, like when you feel self-doubt and doubtful, or I think also maybe, well, I know it's like comparing myself to others. Like I'll be like, oh, like I doubt myself, like this person's doing like even better, doing what I want to do. It's like, you can be there too. Like they're not any different than you. Use that as motivation to get up earlier and get the workout in so you can have your day or whatever. That's what it is for me, instead of letting my morning workout drag on till like 5 p.m. and it's like, what did I do all day? So that, I think, really helped me. And I don't know, that's like not really like a happy quote, but like a motivational thing. Like, you know where you're capable of being, girlfriend. So like, go out there and get it. Like, no one else is gonna get it for you. So whatever it is that you want or are going for. Okay. We are 40 minutes in and I did not even touch on like love languages, Enneagram. This is so bad that I can't say it. Enneagram, that's how it's spelled. And also the Myers-Briggs personality test, because that's like my tried and true, what I've like stuck by for so long. Okay, let's get into it, you guys. So, love languages. I'm trying to think where I first heard of this. I don't know. I feel like in the past couple of years, you hear about like, oh, love language, what's your love language, whatever. Do you know your boyfriend's love language, like in a relationship? So I actually looked it up, and the 5 love languages, how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate, is a book by Gary Chapman. So Gary, you must be a psychologist or something that you found all this out. I don't know. I'm sure there's like other books and other things about it. I'm sure. Like, I feel like everyone knows. So when I was researching for you guys, according to Dr. Chapman, there are 5 primary love languages that people speak. Oh, that's funny to think about. People speak, I guess, feel, whatever. These include words of affirmation. So that can be the first one. 2, quality time. 3, physical touch. 4, acts of service. 5, receiving gifts. I guess giving or receiving gifts. So let's break it down. When Max and I, it must have been like a quiz test, whatever, when we did this, it was actually really interesting. Like I was touching on before the results, because I think it was different than I thought. So initially, I think when we were taking it, I was like, okay, for both of us, like number one is just going to be something like physical touch, because I feel like we're so touchy, or I guess especially in the beginning when you're in the honeymoon, you know, you're like everywhere you go, you're like holding hands or hugging or whatever. So I thought physical touch was going to be like number one. No, it wasn't. It was probably like 3 or 4 for both of us, like way lower down, because I think we just value other things more, or like receive, express, feel love in that way. So like I said, words of affirmation was number one for Max, which I touched on before. That was like really helpful for me to know as his partner. I think these are so helpful to know as someone's partner, because you can just love them in the way that they receive love and sort of focus on that and just be like cognizant of it, so that you're not, for me, for example, I'm not just like talking shit and like, or like joking around, being like offensive, and he like takes it hard, takes it seriously. So I don't know. That just made me think like, wow, Gretchen, like what I say to him is really important. So I need to just think about that and like be careful here. And I think it is like the first two are sort of like your primary and secondary ways that you receive love. Like the first two are the most important. And then I think second for Max was either quality time or maybe acts of service. It's funny because acts of service, I know, were not both of ours first, like, primary way, but I think they're both so important to us, so they must be both of our, like, second. That sounds like acts of service. I don't know. In my mind, it's just, like, showing that you care. Like, we're both so big on that. Like, not just saying, like, I love you, whatever, which obviously I realize is important to Max, and, like, saying, like, love you, sweetie, you look great today, whatever, are important to him, and he, like, really receives love in that way. But also, like, showing each other that we care by doing things means so much to both of us, I know. Like, if he gets home, I did this a couple times, and he would, like, tear up. He'd be like, oh my gosh, that's just, like, the best thing ever. If he would get home from an away game, like, he's gone, like, on the road all day, and he gets home, it's, like, midnight or 1 a.m., and he had, like, so much laundry piling up, and if I did the laundry and folded it, put it away, whatever, he would be like, are you kidding me? Like, you know what I mean? When you do something for someone else, it feels really good doing it for someone else because you know how it's going to make them feel, but when you're that person that receives this act of service, it feels so nice. Like, you feel so loved and cared for, and it just feels a weight off your, like, a weight off your shoulder. Like, if he's like, oh, like, I vacuumed because I know you wanted to vacuum today, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that literally is a weight off my shoulder. Now it's something I don't have to worry about, and he's like, oh my gosh, I was gonna do my laundry on my off day tomorrow, but now I can, like, relax, whatever it is. So it's just really helpful knowing that these love languages. And I just think, bottom line for everyone, acts of service is really sweet. I'm trying to think, maybe the only time it wouldn't be good is if, like, I was really, like, offended, like, or like, oh no, like, why did you do that? I wanted to do that or something. I don't know. But, like, I don't think that's ever really the case if you're doing something to, like, show that you care. Even an act of service, like doing the dishes or the chores. I'm thinking of, like, things like that, but there's got to be other acts of service. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm thinking about it too much. That's my personality type here. I'm like, act of service if I, like, made a donation in his name. I don't know. That's more of, like, a gift. But anyway, so those are, like, his top two. I know my first one is quality time for sure. That's why long distance was so hard for me, because I'm like, I just want to, like, spend time around you all the time and not just, like, passive time where we're both scrolling on our phones. Like, quality time, like, deep talks, conversation, have dinner with me, put the phones away, chit chat, like, let's talk and bond and, like, have that quality time. That's for sure my number way that I receive love, is just, like, quality time. And then two for me, I don't even think is words of affirmation. Like, it's got to be two or three, but I think two is the acts of service, like I was just saying. And then physical touch and gift giving. You know, I feel like I sort of, like, judge them. Like, I'm like, oh, those aren't as, like, good as the other ones, but they are, and they're, like, just as valid. And I feel like I've learned that, learning more about them. I really used to think, like, gift giving, gift receiving, I'm like, oh, that sounds so weird to me and, like, materialistic. Like, how can that be a legitimate, like, love language? But then, like, reading more into it, if you want to, like, research more about it too, it is, and it works for, like, a lot of relationships. And also physical touch, which I know we both, like, appreciate. Like, I love holding hands. Like, I feel like all of these are my love languages. Just obviously some more important than others. And for some people, like, physical touch might be really high up on their list, you know? I feel like I've seen TikToks where it's like, tell me your love language is physical touch without telling me your love language is physical touch. And it'll be, like, people, like, wrapped around each other in public, or, like, always holding hands, like, always. Even, but I see, like, physical touch might be my last one or second to last, but even if we're, like, sitting next to each other, I just love if, like, our hand, or, like, we're holding hands, or if his hand's on my knee, or, like, even if our legs are just touching, or, like, when you go to bed at night, if, like, your feet touch each other. I don't know, that sounds so dumb, but it's just, like, you feel connected. And then gift giving, gift receiving. So I always thought this one, like I said, I would, like, judge this love language, and then I realized, wow, I really show love in this way. I don't think I receive love in this way as much. I mean, it's so sweet. I always just feel like it's so beyond generous if I receive a gift from Max, my mom, my sister, whatever. And obviously I receive love in that way. I'm like, wow, I feel so loved. But sometimes I almost feel bad. I don't know if you guys feel that way about gifts. Like, you feel like, oh my gosh, like, you did not have to do that. Like, I feel bad. Like, you went out of your way, or you spent your money, or you spent your time making this, whatever it is. But then I realized, wow, I really, really show my love in that way. Like, I always want to provide for my friends or family or Max or whatever. If I hear something that, like, my sister, my mom, or Max wants, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I want to get that for them, because that's just, like, the best feeling to me, to surprise them with, like, something that they wanted or something like that. It's going to make them happy, or, like, solve a problem for them. If it's, like, this, like, blow dryer my sister wanted, I'm like, oh, I want to get it for them, because I just know that, like, they want that, so they're going to love it. And I don't know, like, I just, maybe I'm, like, a provider in that way. Like, I always want to, like, provide for my friends or my mom, or, like, I always help out my mom or my sister whenever I can, if it's, like, money or whatever. So I think I really give love in that way, which is, like, interesting to think about and learn about. And yeah, I really recommend, if you guys, even if you're not in relationships, to just, like, learn what your love languages are, because I feel like it makes you more in touch with yourself and what you value in a relationship and things like that. But I think other ways, like, people, like, gift giving is, I don't know if this is, like, not right, but I think about how sometimes a parent might be, like, traveling for work all the time, for example. And, you know, I know this happened whenever my dad would go away on work trips when we were younger. He would bring back, like, little gifts or presents. And I guess we really did receive love in that way. I'm sure he gave love in that way, because it's, like, even if he couldn't be there because he was away for a week at a conference or whatever, he would bring back, like, little knickknacks or treats or whatever for us. And that, I guess that is a love language in that way. I don't know if that's, like, not a right example for it, but yeah, that's just, like, what I think of in my head. So that's that on love languages. And then, okay, we're getting into the Enneagram, you guys. So I looked, and for Enneagram, there's 9 different types. Basically, these are, like, personality tests and types, and to just learn about your personality and, like, why you are the way you are. Like I said, your values, your fears, your strengths, your weaknesses, goals, like, things like that. And it's so weird, like, reading about whatever type you are, because you are, like, the whole time you read about it, you're just like, oh my god, that's me. Oh my gosh, that's so me. Whoa, whoa, that's so me. And then you read about, like, the weaknesses and strengths, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so me. Like, whenever I read about it, I'm like, whoa. So, like I said, I didn't really know about the Enneagram before, and I was like, is that me? But then when I was just really reading about it, I was like, wow. So let me tell you guys about what one that I am. I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, so my number one, like, it shows, like, there's 1 through 9, and it shows, like, what your top one is, and then it's kind of, like, levels, like, it's a pie chart, and, like, the biggest one for me is 7, so I guess that means my Enneagram type is 7, but then, like, close behind is 3, then 2, then 8, so I don't know, like, if that means anything, but I was reading, and it says, so at first I'm like, oh, is this me? And then I was like, whoa, this is really me. So it says, 7s are defined by their desire to experience everything good and pleasurable that the world has to offer, while avoiding pain, boredom, and limitations. Although 7s appear enthusiastic and fun-loving, deep down they have a fear of getting stuck in negative emotions. Yup. Thus, they tend to disconnect from their deeper feelings, instead focusing on their imagination and zest for life to keep them moving forward and gathering new pleasurable experiences. I'm like, wow, that does sound like me. And then I clicked on, it's called The Enthusiast, which sounds like me. And, like, it's so me. So everything I just said, this is my deepest fear, is getting stuck in a rut and missing out on the good life. So true. They cope with this fear by constantly seeking out exciting, novel, and fun experiences. So me. And, like, I feel like my Myers-Briggs personality type will tell you, will, like, kind of explain that too, how I'm, like, always seeking out fun experiences and new things. It says, core motivations, more than anything, 7s want to avoid feeling bored, sad, or uninspired. Totally. Personality traits. Okay, this is where I was like, whoa, this is me. Always on the go. Sounds familiar. Wide range of interests, childlike enthusiasm and energy. I literally was like, oh, how does it know? curious, sparkling eyes. Sure. Many ongoing professional creative projects, upbeat and optimistic, class half full outlook. I'm like, uh-huh. Well-liked, popular among peers. Oh my gosh, thank you. Like, I don't really, I mean, maybe I'm well-liked by the people that watch my YouTube videos or listen to my podcast, I would hope. What else? In depth, it says, wide-eyed, filled to the brim with endless energy, are playful, busy optimists of the world. Yeah, I would say that's really me. Relentless curiosity for new information, experiences, play into their stories. Oh, this, I was like, whoa, how does it know? They are storytellers with a passion for many different hobbies, glass half full, blah, 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 like I said. But I'm like, how does it know that I'm always, like, telling stories to my friends and family? Because I am. It says my core values are flexibility, happiness, and novelty. Like, that literally sounds like my literal core values for life and, like, goals, is to just be, like, happy, like, novelty, like, fun, new, exciting things all the time, and being flexible. Like, yes. Variety is the enthusiast bread of life. Totally. Like, totally. Which I feel like is very... I'm an ENFP, which I'll get into, but I feel like that's so P of me. Open-mindedness. Oh, and it talks about, like, when sevens are healthy, average, unhealthy, and I feel like I just so relate to it. Enough talking about sevens, because if you're a seven, maybe you can relate, but if you're not, like, whatever. Oh, here it says... the 9 different Enneagram types. Okay, ready? Enneagram type 1, the perfectionist. Oh, I'm already thinking of, like, some of my friends when I read these. Enneagram type 2, the giver. Oh my god, that's totally my sister Lucy. Enneagram type 3, the achiever. Type 4, the individualist. Type 5, the investigator. Type 6, the skeptic. Oh, I remember Max took this too. I want to say he was individualist or investigator. Individualist, like, sounds like him. He's very, like, individual, independent. Where was I? Type 6, the skeptic. Type 7, the enthusiast. Type 8, the challenger. Type 9, the peacemaker. Ooh, actually, maybe that's my twin sister, Lucy. Gosh, now I want to know hers. I'm going to send this to her and, like, have her take it. So that's the Enneagram. I guess it's, like, similar to Myers-Briggs, but different. And I first took the Myers-Briggs personality test in college. Like I said, we had to do it for my organizational behavior class, and I found it so fascinating. It was so cool. And basically, there's 4 different categories for the Myers-Briggs personality test. By the way, if you want to take these online, I know the one for Myers-Briggs on Google that, like, me and all my friends would take is just called 16personalities.com. And then for Enneagram, I took it on Truity.com. I'm sure there's, like, a million of them if you just Google them. And so it's interesting when I was just reading about the Myers-Briggs one, because the different categories, I feel like the name, like, the letters for each category have changed almost, and that makes sense. Okay, so like I said, I'm ENFP. So what that means is, like, each different one. So the first one is extroverted or introverted, which most people know. But I find it, like, really fascinating. I'm so extroverted, like, beyond. Like, people are always like, oh, you're not, like, 100% one or the other. No, I literally am. Like, when I take the test, it's always, like, 100%, like, extroverted. Like, I barely have any introverted, like, qualities, I feel like. Maybe once in a while if I'm really, like, I don't know, really social and I'll want a moment to, like, recharge by myself. But that, like, barely ever happens. Like, I just get my energy from other people is, like, I think the main thing about being extroverted, like, you gain energy by being with others, and introverted, like, it kind of drains them. My twin sister, I'll talk about her a lot too with Myers-Briggs, because we literally have the opposite personality types, which is, like, so fascinating since we're twin sisters. And then the second one, I think, is where it, like, changed. I always thought it was, it's I or S, but maybe they just, like, changed what it's called. So I'm ENFP, like I was saying, and my sister is actually ISTJ, so that's, like, it's either one or the other. And when I'm reading about it, though, it says intuitive versus observant, but I always thought the S was for sensing. So how I learned, I'll just talk about that, intuitive versus sensing. This one's kind of hard to explain, but I'm definitely, I guess the N is for intuitive. Yeah, I'm definitely intuitive, and it's funny when I would have my friends take it and they would get S, I would be like, whoa, they're like so sensing, or I guess observant is what this calls this. So I'll just read what it says because I'm like bad at explaining this. But it says, our second personality scale includes the intuitive and observant S, yeah, styles. These traits describe what people are more likely to do with the information gathered from the world around them. Intuitive personality types rely on imagining the past and the future potential of what they see. Those with observant style are more interested in observable facts and more straightforward outcomes. They prefer to avoid layering too much interpretation on what they see. So when I learned about this and then like saw it in real life with my friends, I'm like, whoa, that's so true. Like, I remember in my observational behavior class, we did like different exercises with this. So once everyone had their personality type, we would break up into like introverted and extroverted and do like different activities. And we did like sensing versus intuitive. And I remember there being like such a stark contrast. Our professor had like gave us each group an apple and was like, okay, write down and we're gonna like discuss after everything about the apple. So I'm in the intuitive group and we're like, okay, like apple a day gives like keeps the doctor away. Snow White, like with the apple, and we're like really thinking about it, like healthy, nutritious, yummy, whatever. And then the sensing group was like, what do you want me to say? It's red and it's round and you can eat it. And we were like, whoa, like that is so crazy. So I think intuitive, you just like sounds like overthinkers, like you just like think about it too much, and sensing is more just like you sense, like the physical senses, like you see it, you experience it, like that's it kind of thing. That's at least how I perceive that one. So you could like think about which one you are. And then the third one is thinking versus feeling. I'm definitely feeling. I remember that, I won't bore you, but the activity we did for this was so funny. It was like how you react in a situation, and a lot of people in the tea were like very practical and thinking logically. Meanwhile, I like come right out with the emotions and just feel first. So yeah, this says our third nature scale reveals the extent to which we value emotions or rationally more. We value emotions or rationality more when considering options. Does a person tend to use a thinking personality trait, which relies on the head, or the feeling trait, which relies on the heart? So it's really interesting. I think a lot of me and my girlfriends are feeling, just because, yeah, I don't know. Maybe like girls are more feeling and guys are more thinking, but I don't know. Max might even be F, and I think Lucy's T. So yeah, I guess you don't know. And then the fourth one, I'm so P. This says, okay, this is different too. I always thought it was judging versus perceiving, but this says judging versus prospecting. So J or P is the last one. And how I think of this is like all the questions, if you do the quiz, is like, if you're judging, it's not actually like what the word sounds like. It just means that you are like really put together and on a schedule and you're like early for things and you have a plan and a planner. And I always thought it was perceiving, but prospecting, whatever the P is very like laid back, me, like very like spontaneous. So this says the tactic scale, which includes judging, prospecting personality traits, reflects how people plan and deal with the options they have. But this definition doesn't just concern what individuals write in their day planners, it's much broader. These traits answer questions like, do you prefer spontaneity or certainty? Do you feel more comfortable acting only with all your ducks lined neatly in a row? Does a certain amount of flexibility or chaos excite you and prove motivating? That's so me. Do you need more choices or fewer? It says people with judging personality trait feel most comfortable when the course ahead is well marked. They would rather come up with 5 backup plans than deal with events as they come, preferring to consider their options ahead of time. Personality types with this trait prefer clarity and closure, sticking with a plan rather than going with the flow. It's as if judging types always keep a mental checklist. When they cross something off their list or even start an item on their list, they consider it complete and not open to reconsideration. That's so Max. Like people that just have their crap together. For me, prospecting individuals are much more flexible when it comes to dealing with unexpected challenges. This flexibility helps them seize unexpected opportunities as well. Wow, this is like painting such a nice picture about it, and I always thought it was such a nice, like such a negative thing. These personality types tend to react to their environments rather than try to control them. Yeah, helping them to make their own luck and whatever the world delivers, people with this trait hold that life is full of possibilities. Yeah, that's so me. And I just remember learning about how, like, the P is very spontaneous, like on a whim, like woo, like sort of like the hot mess, not really planning things out. Like, I wish I could be J. Like, I wish I could just have a plan, have it together, be really structured, have a routine. But I just, by nature, I think I'm very P. So yeah, I thought I would just like touch on that for you guys because it's really fun. And I wonder if you have taken the test, like what it comes up with. It's always so interesting. Like, I would think I would know my friends and then they would take it and it'd be different. And I'd be like, whoa, that's so you. So I think for the Enneagram, it tells me that I am the campaigner is the name of my personality type. ENFP. It says something is someone with the extroverted, intuitive feeling and prospecting personality traits. These people tend to embrace big ideas and actions that reflect their sense of hope and goodwill towards others. Their vibrant energy can flow in many directions. Oh, nice. And it's so fun when you do these too, you guys. It'll show like celebrities that have the same personality type for Enneagram number as you. And let's talk about strengths and weaknesses for this. I want to see, because it's so me. Curious, observant, energetic, enthusiastic, good communicators, know how to relax. Oh, I feel like I don't know how to relax. It says, find it difficult to focus. Number one, wow. Overthink things, get stressed easily. This is like so weird to read because I'm like, oh my God, how does it know? Highly emotional. Oh, and this says independent to a fault. I feel like I've gotten better. You know, I am really independent in some ways and like not in others, but I've gotten definitely better. Oh my gosh, you guys, you can click romantic relationships. Wow. Okay, I need to like read this and like see how I am. When it comes to relationships, there are hardly anyone around who's more excited than campaigners to share with their partners the bounty of ideas and eye-opening experiences that life has to offer. That's so me. Like, I don't shut up. People with a campaigner personality type. Relationships are a joyous process of mutual exploration, imagination, chance to connect with another soul. Campaigners take their relationship seriously, are known for their uninhibited, unshakable devotion to people whom they've committed their hearts. That's so true. In dating phase, campaigners can be said to tolerate such a formal process, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. They'll do everything they can to build a strong relationship by demonstrating their devotion, reliability, by whatever means available. Aww. Wow. Oh my gosh, you can look at friendships, parenthood, career paths. Let's see what a good career would be. Watch, it says like YouTuber, podcaster. career paths. So me. Where campaigners do not shine is in systems of strict regimentation. Like strict regiment hierarchy, such as military service. I think in any strict like workplace, I just would not do well. They thrive on the ability to question the status quo, explore the alternatives. If this is a quality that's not appreciated but frowned upon, this will not only make them unhappy but may even threaten their emotional stability. So true. Repetition, predictability, boredom. While some types may appreciate predictability and clear hierarchies, these are not selling points for campaigners. So true. People with a campaigner personality type need to feel they're pushing boundaries, exploring ideas, to focus on interests and careers that encourage that. Yes. Oh, here we go. Many career options satisfy these needs, not just scientific ones. Writing, journalism, acting, TV reporting give campaigners a chance to explore something new every day, stir the pot while they're at it. Yes, like something new every day. That's totally me on social media. Like, I can do different things every day, do whatever I want, be creative. Wow. Yeah, that really like lines up with my personality type. Okay, hopefully you guys didn't think this was so boring, but that was so fun to like go through those. Like I said, I like geek out over this stuff. I don't know what it is. I like find it fascinating. Like I was saying, learning about, I mean, love languages and just sort of like diving deep into like who you are as a person, because it can help you like seeing your strengths and weaknesses and sort of like pointing it out and being like, okay, like, let's focus on your strengths, like, don't focus on the weaknesses, or sort of like, you know what I mean? So I don't know, I thought that would be fun to go through. You guys should totally take those tests if you haven't before, just because they're really fun to see. It can maybe like help you in your life and what you're up to. Maybe the love languages will help you in your relationship. And yeah, this episode is so long now. Like, what did we even talk about? Just had a little catch up, got some advice in there. This went by so quick. Like, I wish we could just talk for another hour because I love you guys and this was so fun. Give me advice on staying present. Don't forget. And I hope you all are very healthy and happy and safe right now in the world. I know the world is kind of like going back to normal, may I say, a little bit more normal, or more normal version that we're used to pre-pandemic. But obviously we're not pre-pandemic, like, we're still in the pandemic, but I feel like it's getting a lot better. Like, those of you listening, probably a lot of you, I would assume, are fully vaccinated like I am. And here in PA, at least where I live, the mask mandate is pretty much gone. I think in some businesses they can still have a mask mandate. I think it's like up to individual businesses, and I'm fine wearing a mask. Like, I'd honestly rather wear one than have people think that I don't think they're important. I was just saying this in a vlog yesterday. Like, I'm fully vaxxed, but I'm like, I'd rather wear one than have people or be uncomfortable or anything. So yeah, I don't really mind wearing one. Like, I'm really used to it. And oh, I wanted to say too, when we were on Cape, we decided last minute to go to the Bruins playoff game. Went to game two. By the way, side note, Max and I are such bad luck for the Bruins. The two playoff games we went to for the Bruins, game two and game seven in 2019, they lost both of them. And they also lost game two this time of the second series because we were there. And they lost in overtime and really bad luck. But what I'm trying to say is it was full capacity. No masks. It was crazy. Well, I think technically you were supposed to wear the masks if you weren't eating and drinking, but like, everyone was eating and drinking the whole time. It was like basically no masks in full capacity. Like, it was so weird feeling like normal life again, and I like forgot how to act in a crowd of people and like meeting a bunch of followers, which was like the best highlight, of course, of like the whole, that's like really what I'm happy about, that I got to meet so many of you guys, because I feel like I've been so deprived of that in the last year and a half during the pandemic, because I go less places or like big crowds or anything where I would typically meet so many of you. So that was like so fun and such a blessing of the weekend. But anyway, I digress. I'm like getting so chatty here. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed. These are my favorite episodes to listen to, like I said, and I will catch you next week in my next episode, 2 weeks from now. Okay, bye. Love ya.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.